Alrighty, let's get our Bibles out, and we're going to finish up on being well in the Spirit. Being well in the Spirit, and I'm hopefully, considering that you have been taking wonderful notes, and you know all these answers, and I could probably have you come up and teach this now. I told you there are five things that you need to do to be spiritually well, and I gave you four of the five. What's the first one? Yes, I knew you knew that. Stay connected. You got to stay connected. You got to belong to something, right? What's the second one? Does anybody remember the second one? Yeah. Be active. You just cannot sit around, do nothing, expect to be spiritually well. It just isn't going to happen. Stay connected. Like folks here that just joined the church today, they're staying connected to a body of believers. The second one, stay active. You just cannot sit at home, do nothing, and expect to be spiritually well. The third one, anybody remember what the third one was? Yeah, Charlene's going, is this your point to me like I'm crazy or what? Take notice. You got to understand how you think. You got to be able to think about how you think and how you process and take note of that. And I told you, and I'll tell you again, your minds have a mind of their own. Your minds just go places. It just goes places. How many know your minds just go? It just goes. It just goes. And you don't even know where it goes or why it goes, or but it goes. And one trick to being spiritually well, so I'll give it to you. You want to think of yourself as standing on a bridge. And you're looking at a pond or a creek or a stream, and the stream is going under the bridge. And as you start to think these thoughts, just put the thoughts on a leaf and let the leaf pass under the bridge. That's what you do. You stand on the bridge and you look down and you visualize a calm stream. And as these thoughts enter your mind, put the thought on a leaf and let the leaf go what? Right down the stream. Everybody has thoughts you cannot control. Is that true? And the more you say to yourself, I'm not going to think these thoughts, guess what? The more you think these thoughts. So take notice how you think. The fourth one that I told you was, you need to be what?
Giving.
You need to be giving. God does not bless to you. He blesses what? Through you. The more you give, the more you get. And it's proportionate to the amount you give. The more you give, the more you get. And when God gives you something from His kingdom, He gives it to you what? Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. The fifth thing, and the final thing that you must do to be spiritually well, is you have to keep growing. You have to keep learning. You have to mature in your faith. You have to do that. And I want to let you know, and so many people will say to me, well, Pastor Tom, you know, you don't need to go to church to be saved, and you don't need to go to Bible studies to be saved, and you don't, yeah, that's true, but you need to go there to grow. Now, let's just have a very honest conversation, me and all of you, okay? And don't lie to me, because I got connections. And if I can figure out you're lying to me, I will come sit right on your lap, and you will be so embarrassed. Now, I know that all of you want to say that you go home and study God's Word every single day. I know that's what you want to tell me. That's what you want to tell me. You want to tell me you go home and you get God's Word on, boy, you're reading and looking at the notes and you're getting the concordance and all that kind of stuff. But you know and I know you don't do that every day. Because you don't. Some of us may, but some of us may not. And the only way to grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ is by staying in His Word. True? That's the only way you can do it. Now listen to me. Sissy and I have been married 42 years. I know more about her now than when I first married her. How many would say the same thing about your spouse? How many know things now you didn't know then? No, that didn't come across right. Eric, she's not here. But the only way that we can get to know somebody is to what? Spend time with them. That's it. That's the only way you can possibly know somebody is spend time with them. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, please. Turn in your Bibles, and let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Yeah. We have to grow in grace and knowledge. We have to grow. We have to grow. And when you grow in knowledge of God, and you grow in a knowledge of Jesus, and you grow in a knowledge of the Holy Spirit, you kind of understand a lot more about His relationship with you and your relationship with Him. And I told you, I think last week I told you, that a lot of folks love to quote a passage of Scripture which is misquoted. They misquote it every time. God does not give you more than you can bear. You know, we use that a lot. People like to use that a lot. Now, you know, God does not give you more than you can bear. Well, that's not what the passage of Scripture says. It says God will not let you be tempted beyond which that you can bear. Tempted. And one thing that we have to understand about growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is this. We Christians are great cheerleaders. We are fantastic cheerleaders. And what I mean by that is when one of us is going through a trial, we're going through some kind of tribulation, some kind of mountain, some kind of valley, what do the rest of the Christians do? Cheer them on. We all know our Bible passages that we like to quote. When somebody's going through a trial or a tribulation, we quote them. You know, I know I can quote a couple, and probably you can too. You know, somebody's going through anxiety. You know, my favorite one to quote to somebody is Matthew 6:25-33. Do not be anxious about anything. In all things, trust God. Consider the lilies of the field. How many know that passage of Scripture? You know that one? When somebody's really tired, you know, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me my yoke and learn from me, for I am kind and gentle in spirit. I mean, we all have ours. Don't we have ours? Who has your passage of Scriptures memorized? Who has them? That when somebody's going through a trial, this is coming out. It's coming out. Right? It's going to be right there. Now, you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you to the ends of the age. Jeremiah 29:11. Now you know God has a plan for you, plan to prosper you, plan to do you good. And we have all these great cheers that we give. And somebody's down there on the stadium and they're going through some kind of trial or tribulation. And the rest of us, come on now, you can do it. Come on now, let's go. Now you know, where's your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. If you have size faith by the mustard seed. And you know, we know how to do this. And we're just cheering people on. And come on, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. And somebody taps you on your shoulder and say, no, wait a second. Come on, you can do this. Somebody taps you on, what, God? Huh? My turn? It's not my turn? You want me to go on down there now? Well, I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to be a cheerleader. I signed up to be able to root everybody home. I didn't know that it was going to be my turn to come on down and get in the game. See, mature Christians who grow in faith and knowledge know everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. And the only thing you have to ask yourselves is this. Everything that you say to everybody else isn't now good for you. Everything that you've been ministering to everybody else, and everything you've been praying for everything else, and all those passages of Scripture you like to quote, are they now good for what? You. Are they good for you? How many of you really truly understand it is easier to talk the talk than it is to walk the walk? Let's just be bold here. How many are pretty good talking the talk? Oh, I can talk the talk. I can do that pretty well. But how many of you need a little work when it comes to walking the walk? When it's your turn, isn't it amazing how all of those passages of Scripture leave you so quickly? And all you concentrate on is your problem. Isn't that true? And so in order for us to be spiritually well, what we clearly got to grasp a hold of is we got to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in our knowledge and our spiritual maturity to understand how life works. And some of those ways, as I've been telling you, bad things just don't happen to bad people. Bad things happen to who? Everybody. It's the way it is. And the death rate is what? 100%. And the biggest cause of death is what? Birth. Oh yeah, it's birth. For everybody that is born, there'll be what? A person that dies. That's the way it works. And so, when we think that a holy God is zapping us, well, here's one example. If God zapped kids because of the sins of their parents, how many of you have no kids? Think it through. Think it through. Right? And so when we grow in knowledge and faith of Jesus Christ, we start to mature on our faith, and we kind of get an understanding of how life works. In this world, we have diseases. Don't we? Can you show me somewhere in Scripture where when you became a Christian, you wouldn't get one? Is that in there? Do you think it's in there, Sue? No. Judas, it's not in there. Who gets diseases? Everybody. That's the way it works. That's the way it works because of fallen man, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. And it fell upon all of their descendants from here ever after. So who's going to get sick, Kathy? Everybody. Everybody gets their turn. And so what we want to do is to say to ourselves, okay, if I want to be spiritually well, when it is I get physically ill, that's a huge advantage to you. Huge. Which means this, if you get sick and you got some kind of disease or infirmity, I'm serious, guys. If you get sick and the doctor tells you you got this or you got that, right? And you're sitting there in your hospital room and you already got whatever it is that you got, the cooties or whatever. Hey, do boys still give girls cooties? They did so when I was growing up. Sissy, did you get cooties from me? Okay. See, I hand her softballs. What'd she do, Chris? Boom! Out of the park. So you're sitting there, and you're in an emergency room or whatever, and the doctor says, hey, you know what? Based upon all these tests and things, you got this. Okay, so you have a choice. You got this. Whatever this is, you got it. Now you have a choice. You can now take your spiritual self and make it sick as well as your physical self. You do things like this. Oh my God, I can't believe this has happened to me. Where's God at in this? Why is he doing this to me? And now not only are you physically ill, but you're also what? Spiritually sick. Now you combine the physical illness with the spiritual illness and you start putting in stinking thinking, you are a sick puppy. How many understand that? You are sick. Because you've lost hope, you've lost faith, you've lost courage, you've lost joy, you've lost everything. Everything. And you're still sick. Wouldn't it be better for the doctor to come in and say, hey, you know you got this, and you say to yourself, well, I don't know how God's going to use this, but I know he is. Wouldn't that be better, Scott? Wouldn't it be better to say, okay, so I now got to deal with this, but God's going to get me through it. How he's going to get me through it, that's up to him. When he's going to get me through it, that's also up to him. But he's going to get me through it, and it's going to be for his glory. And I'm going to use this for God's glory. Do you know if you think things like that, you will get better quicker? How many agree with that statement? So you got to clearly grasp a hold of yourself, and you got to say, okay, if everybody gets sick, and they do, if everybody goes through trials, and they do, how can I go through this differently? Well, one of the greatest motivational speakers of our time is a guy by the name of Zig Ziglar. And he said things like this, you know, the most dreaded disease that a man or woman could get is called hardening of the attitudes. Hardening of the attitudes. And it's catchy. It's communicable. If you sit next to somebody that has stinking thinking, guess what's going to happen to you? Butch, you're going to get stinking thinking. It's catchy. And if you get a case of stinking thinking, you need a checkup from your neck up. You need to renew your understanding. You need to be able to grow in faith and knowledge. And let's check this out. How many of you have ever had a trial or a tribulation in your life, even if but one time? Universal. It's universal. That doesn't separate you from the rest of the world. You're right in with everybody else. Fact is, you're pretty common. Right? When you go through a trial or tribulation, you're just like everybody else. You're pretty ordinary. And so when you start to think, it's only happening to me. No, it's not. No, it's not. In the city of Pittsburgh, there's probably 4,000 patients or something like that in hospitals that are sick. Is that a true statement? Don't you think some of them love God in those places? Of course they do. And so the difference is that when we go through this, the difference is if we are spiritually strong, we say, okay, it's now what? My turn. My turn. But I know God's not going to leave me, and I know He's not going to forsake me. And I know that God is not a part-time God. He's a full-time God. And God's not a halfway God. He's an all-the-way God. And God says He's going to take me home to the other side, and I know my future is secure. How many say amen to that? And if you get really sick, there's only two outcomes. Either you will get better. Well, I was going to say you won't, but you die. Either you will or you will not. That's the two outcomes, right, Karen? Check it out, right? You get really, really sick. Only two outcomes. You'll get better or you won't. So let's suppose that you get better. What's there to worry about? Well, let's suppose you don't get better. You go home to be with God. What's there to worry about? So how many know it's win-win for us? It's win-win. And so when you go through life, are you thinking things like that? Is that how you process? Is your understanding of God mature? Is your understanding of God in such a way that you can say to yourself, hey, you know what? God's going to use me. Now, let me explain something to you. Without getting into specifics, how many of you know with a pretty good deal of certainty what your children would do in any circumstance? Is that fair? Your children. Given any circumstance, whatever it may be, how many of you pretty much know what they would do? Pretty much, right? Suppose for just an example that, you know, there was some money laying on a sidewalk somewhere and your kids walked by and saw it lying on a sidewalk. Do you pretty much know with certainty what your child would do with that $20 laying on a sidewalk? You got a pretty good grasp. Say, boy, you know, if I was a betting person, I'd probably say my kid would do this. You know your children that well? Who knows your children that well? Cool. Well, God knows His kids that well too. You see, we know with some certainty, but He knows with what? Absolute certainty. He knows what His kids would do in any particular situation. And He also knows which of His kids can suffer for His glory. Now, I need you to wrap your arm around that for just a second. He knows which of His kids can suffer for His glory. He knows. And so sometimes when you're suffering, could it be that God's going to use you for His glory? Could it be that God's going to use you for His purposes? Could it not be that God knows exactly what He's doing? Is that not true? How many raised kids? How many knew if you give your child everything that they ever wanted in their entire life, that they would not be very good, healthy adults today? Is that a true statement? Are there not some things you have to work for? Is that true? Well, God knows that too. Is anybody mature enough in their faith here today to say to me, you know what, I thank God loves me so much, He don't bless me too quick? And that's worth repeating. Who in this room can say to me, I thank God that He loves me so much, He don't bless me too quick? That's the way it works. And so when we're in our spiritual mature place, we understand that God's timing and our timing is what? Different. We live in an instantaneous society. We want stuff when? Now. We want our food served to us when? Now. We want instant rice. Instant mashed potatoes. Does this make any sense? A baked potato in a microwave oven. Now, think it through, Jimmy. A baked potato in a microwave oven. How many know they're not the same? You can wrap that thing with don't put aluminum foil on it though. Wrap that thing with tissue paper. It's not a baked potato. But we want everything. We want it now. We want it now. We want it now. But God says, no. In my time and in your maturity to be spiritually well, you have to understand these things. You have to understand that God answers all prayer. He answers all prayer. And spiritual mature people understand that. When you go to God in prayer, there's three possible answers to that prayer request. Maybe four. What's one of them? Yes. Well, I got to know. One of them is? Yes. No. One of them is? Yes. One of them is yes, but not now. Here's the fourth one. Yes, but not the way you think. I'll run that by you again. See, mature Christians, people that are spiritually well, people that can understand and grasp a hold of this is, well, when I ask God for anything, there's four possible answers. And one of them is no. Two, yes. Three, yes, but not now. Four, yes, but not in a way you expect. And if you're spiritually well, you get that. If you're not spiritually well, you think God's not listening to you because you did not get the request answered in the way you wanted it answered. Mature Christians, those who are spiritually well, get this. Now let me put it to you in plain English. When your kids were young and you were raising them up, and your kids said to you, I want to go swimming in the river. And you said, you're not going swimming in the river. And then they laid this on you. But everybody on the whole street's going swimming in the river. But you're not going swimming in the river. Yeah, but Billy's mother said she could go, but I ain't Billy's mother. You ain't going swimming in the river. How many of you ever had that dialogue with your kids? You ain't going swimming in the river. Well, the reality of it is, why are you saying to your child that they cannot go swimming in the river? Now, I know that you want to say it because they could drown. Right? That's why you say it. Of course, that's why you say that. But you're surmising that there's the risk of them drowning. Is that true? There's a risk. But you do not know for sure that they're going to drown. But you do know that there's a what? There's a risk. And so you're saying no based upon a what? A risk. See, God says no because He knows. There's no uncertainty. He knows. You know when you told your kids don't mess around with those kids, they're going to get you in trouble? How many ever heard this? How many ever heard that? Don't mess with those kids, they will get you in trouble. How many of you were the kids that other mother was talking about? That's you, right? That's you, Ed, right? Don't hang around that Ed Roger, you're going to get in trouble. And the reality of it is, guess what? Our parents were right. Put that stick down, you're going to put your eye out. I mean, all those things. Don't pick at that, you're going to get an infection. God knows with absolute certainty what's good for you and what's not good for you. The unfortunate thing is children in their immaturity, and unfortunately some of us are still immature. You know, when a kid goes to his mother and says, hey, can I go swimming in the river? And the mother says no, what's the next question out of the kid's mouth? Why? Because you've been there, Scott. Because I said, but Ma, come on, let me go swimming in the river. No, it's persistency. Well, guess what? Immature Christians do that to God too. But why, God? Why? Mature Christians understand that God has a plan for you. That Jeremiah 29:11 passage of scripture I quoted a little while ago. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to do you good, plans to offer your future with hope. He meant that. And I'll be willing to ask you now, how many of you are in the situation you're in because of you anyhow? That'd be real. I mean, how many have been following your own way too long? How many still got consequences of your actions? That's just the truth. So maybe sometimes we need to go, I'm going to get off of my plan and get on His plan. I'll do one more. Have you turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16.
And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Yep. You see, we need to grow in knowledge. We need to know what we believe, why we believe what we believe, and firmly rooted in it. If you do not know what you believe, you will believe anything. I'm going to run that by you again. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you will believe anything. And I'm talking about doctrines of churches. I'll give you a perfect example of that. Now, you check this out. There was a pastor named Jim Jones. Ever hear of a guy named Jim Jones? Jim Jones had a church. And they went to South Africa, I think it was. Took his whole church down there. And he convinced everybody that they were going to, you know, that everybody had to die because the government was coming for them, and the government had this conspiracy and all this kinds of goofiness. And what happened was, the Jim Jones, the pastor of this church, large church, convinced them that they all had to die by giving them laced Kool-Aid or juice with cyanide in it. And they convinced the parents to give it to the children first. And the children died right there in the presence of their parents, and then they swallowed it. And that's a church. If you don't know what you believe, you will believe anything. Is that a true statement? There are powerfully gifted, motivational type men and women that can teach you anything, and you will believe anything because you're gifted in what they do. Adolf Hitler comes to mind. Adolf Hitler, crazy? Probably. But crazy genius, too. The guy was gifted. Wasn't he gifted, Pastor Colin? Hitler, magnificent orator. Magnificent. And on and on and on. And right now, we have on our TVs and our radio programs, we have these speakers. And they're teaching. They're teaching. And they're gifted at what they do. They're gifted at what they do. And you have people at home taking notes and, you know, sending in either $20 for whatever they're sending in, prayer cloth or whatever, and they're sending all this money in, and they're doing all this kind of stuff, right? And people are sending money by the bazillions, and people are being listened to what these people are saying, and you don't have a clue. Don't have a clue if it's true. Did you know the time will come there'll be false prophets? Ed, you talked about it. False prophets. If you don't know what you believe, you believe anything. So what is the test? And what is the ultimate authority of what is true and what is not true? So see, hold your instruction book up there for a minute. The Bible. Yeah, that's the instruction book right there. That's it. Now, I want to give you something to think about. If I was to ask a question, any question, I'm not going to ask it because we don't have enough time, but if I ask any question, and I say to each of you privately, so what do you think about this? Whatever this is. Get the idea, Glenn? I say to Mickey, what do you think about this? And I go to Scott and Eric, and I go all around this room. How many different answers do you think I'm going to get? Would I get the same answer depending upon the question, do you think? Or would I get a myriad of possibilities? And so let's just suppose that we get 10 in a room this size, 10 different doctrines on the same subject. Which one is right? Well, I'll tell you, they're all right. Just ask the people who gave it to me. If you ask those 10 people, guess what they're going to tell you? They're right. Fact is, there's like 35,000 different denominations. It's crazy. Well, which is right? Who's true? If you're sitting at home and you're watching some kind of ministry and you turn the channel and then somebody else does another ministry and they're different, which one is true? Which is true? There's only one way to know for absolute sure. And that's have the truth book. That's the truth book right there. What? Say that again?
Book of mass instruction.
Oh, the book of mass instruction. I love it. And so, if you are not mature in your faith, this is what you will do. You'll go on this side, then you go back on this side, then you go back on this side, then you go back on this side, because you don't know what side to be on. You won't have way of knowing. I like it. People follow pastors, people follow churches, people follow ministries, follow God's word. How many understand that? And that's why we spend so much time here with you getting at the word. That's why I have Mickey read it. Test it. So, how are we to be spiritually well? I can't make you physically well. You're human. And your body is frail. And when we think that we're the strongest of all of God's created beings, guess what? We are the weakest. We're the weakest. We got to have a place that's got air conditioning and heat in it. We got to have a store to go buy food in because we can't get it ourselves. We are weaker of the things. What we call them? Smart but weak. We're weak physically compared to everything else. So I can't guarantee you that you will not be physically ill, because you will. But I can guarantee you, if you do these things, you'll be spiritually well. And what are the five things that you need to do to stay spiritually well? The first one is to what? Stay connected. You got to get involved. This is a good way to do it. Pastor Ed has a Bible study on Thursday nights, right? Get connected. Get connected to the Bible study. Pastor Colin, you're doing a reading the Bible through the year kind of thing. Get connected. That's what you need to do. You need to get connected. I'll be starting a new membership class soon. You got to get connected. Stay connected. What's the second thing? Be active. Be active. You cannot exercise your faith by doing nothing. Everybody can do something. I heard that Elder Mark said that they're going down to Light Life on Thursday. Get involved. You don't need to have a seminary degree to go do that. Go get involved. Stay connected. Be active. What's the third thing? Take notice. Think how you think. Watch your thoughts. See how you process life. Take notice of that. What's the fourth thing that you need to do? Give. You need to be a giving spirit. You need to give. Not only give of your talent, your tithes, but give of yourselves. Give. Just give to people. And what's the fifth thing? Got to grow in knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. You do those things and you will be spiritually well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be spiritually strong. Lord, we can take our fish oil, we can take our vitamins, we can take all that stuff, Lord. We can do all those things. But we're going to get a turn. Oh, we will get a turn. We will be sick. We will come down with something. But Lord, if we're spiritually well, we'll be able to handle it a whole lot better. So Lord, help us to concentrate on spiritual wellness, Lord. In your most awesome name we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen.